Welcome to Coach Training Alliance, and thank you for joining Coach Training Alliance presentation for employee conflict and the role of coaching. This pre-recorded presentation will help you identify employee conflict, explore the role of coaching and what it plays in resolution, and discuss ways you can initiate and hold coaching conversations with your employees. And now, I'd like to introduce your presenter for today's call, mentor coach Marguerite Hamm.
Hi, Holly.
Thank you for joining us today, Marguerite. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And actually, let's go ahead and start with that. What are some of the things we should keep in mind when it comes to coaching employees through conflict?
Well, coaching, conflict actually shows up in organizations through several different ways. You know, there's interpersonal conflict, which comes up through anxiety and tension and annoyance with other team members, you know, over a specific task. There's also workplace conflict, which shows up when an employee has a different idea. In other words, what they're considering is important for the organization versus what the organization considers is really important. And so there's a lot of different things that shows up when conflict occurs. And it really requires necessary changes in behaviors of employees, regardless of their job position. And so, you know, a more of a cooperative, collaborative approach in management who deals with conflict management is what's really necessary. And coaching is just the perfect tool to use because coaching creates true collaboration.
And what happens if we don't coach and simply manage our employees or direct employees through that situation?
Well, first of all, there's no buy-in. And, you know, managing is really about directives. They're focused more on the – managing is focused more on the bottom line and projects and getting things done. And it comes from more of a directive place. And so if we simply manage the situation and tell two employees to get over it, or if an employee doesn't understand something about change in an organization, that can cause that workplace conflict, and they just say, hey, do it because I'm telling you to do it, the employees just shut down. And, of course, that's going to affect their productivity, their efficiency, their quality at work, which is going to have a direct impact on the bottom line of that organization.
Okay, that sounds familiar. Let's take a look at two real-life examples of employee conflict. The first is a project manager who is having trouble with someone in the IT department that's not completing tasks on time, and that person is requiring constant reminders, and it's throwing the project off course. And those two individuals are having trouble working together. The second example I have has to do with a committee chairperson. They feel like they are the only person doing all the work, and some of the members that are on that committee aren't doing their fair share of the workload, and the project is suffering. Morale is suffering. So could you talk a little bit about how coaching might help these individuals or how it might serve the organization?
Well, you know, when In any organization, you know, it kind of goes back to that interpersonal conflict. When the first example around the IT situation was someone in IT who isn't completing their tasks on time and requires constant reminders. That goes back to interpersonal conflict because that's going to have a snowball effect on many different employees who are sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting for this work to be done. And when it's not undone, then it costs them time because they have to go back in and constantly ask, and it costs the organization and those individuals time and money. And so, you know, what's great about coaching to handle these situations is that, you know, we don't want to use coaching as a punitive form of giving feedback. We want to use coaching in more of a positive way where the employee feels supported and empowered to come up with their own solutions and know that they are specifically going to be developed. And this will help them in their current position if they stay with that organization and grow their skills, their characteristics, and so on. It's focused more on personal and professional development. And so it comes from a positive, collaborative place. Even though that person knows that they have a target for development, it comes from a positive place. Now, the second situation, you know, regarding the committee chairperson who feels that they're doing all the work and some of the members aren't doing their fair share of the workload, again, this is about sitting down and having a conversation and sharing what their perception is, the committee member, the chairperson who feels like they're doing all the work, sharing their perception, and then asking for ideas on solutions. So it becomes a collaborative coaching conversation. So I think these are two great examples of where coaching could really serve this. And the bottom line, coaching maintains more of a positive outlook because the people who are being coached feel as though the person who is doing the coaching truly cares about them, truly has their best interest in mind, and is walking side by side with them in a co-creative relationship. So it's not top-down. It's not punitive. It's a positive, moving forward, collaborative solution that ultimately helps the organization and its goals, mission, and vision.
Okay, so let's presume that a lot of the folks listening to this call today are interested in helping their employees to find solutions to their conflict. So as we step into that role before we have a coaching session, how do we prepare ourselves as the ones sort of leading that coaching conversation, and how do we prepare our employees for what this conversation is going to sound like? Should we schedule a time for the conversation to take place? And what if they're not a direct report that reports to us and they're just simply a colleague who's venting and they're frustrated and they're kind of feeling stuck?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of questions in there. So let's kind of start with the beginning, which is before you have a coaching session, how do we prepare ourselves as a coach? Number one, you want to always be in a non-judgmental frame of mind. And so as a coach, we want to show up, and our state of being is non-judgmental. It's calm. It's centered. It's having this other person's best interest at heart, looking for ways to empower them, looking for ways to help them find their own solutions to their challenges. And so if an employee has never been coached and they don't understand what it is, as a coach, we need to describe and explain and clarify exactly what coaching is. And coaching is a highly tuned and powerful process of communication and problem solving. And the relationship between a coach and a team member is co-creative, as I said before, and focused entirely on that team member's interests, challenges, and goals. And this is the most important part, within the context of the organization's mission. So quite often, many times in organizations, and as you know, Holly, I've been coaching in organizations for 20 years now, there's quite often two agendas, and this is one of the things that's really important to clarify. In coaching, the team member who's being coached brings their agenda to the coaching conversation. However, what's also really important and a big part of organizational coaching is that there is what's called an organizational agenda. And so the person that's being coached knows that there's a specific professional development target that this issue, this agenda comes under. So, for example, in the example you gave me earlier in our conversation was the IT person who isn't completing tasks on time and requires constant reminders. So the coaching agenda would be under priority management, task management, project management. And the person, the team member who's being coached, would bring an agenda that speaks to that professional development target. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then next, with a person who's never been coached before, you always want to clarify the coach's role. And the coach's role is all about setting appropriate boundaries and policies, meaning that coaching is not counseling or therapy. And that is a big misunderstanding that needs to be clarified right up front. That is a different animal, so to speak. And it is a coach's job that when a conversation crosses over into that area, that we as a coach recommend that that team member seek other professional advice and help in those areas. We do let the team member determine the agenda, which points to the organizational agenda. We listen with all of our hearts, non-judgmentally. We ask powerful and direct questions. And this is another thing for a person who has no idea what coaching is. As a coach, we need to prep them and say, we're going to be asking a lot of questions that are powerful and direct. And sometimes you may have a difficult time finding the answer, and we'll help you find the answers to those questions. Of course, we're always genuine and authentic with the team members that we're coaching. We appreciate them. We endorse them. We cheerlead them through some tough times. We take the risk to be wrong rather than holding back important truths, and sometimes it takes courage to tell a team member what we are observing as their coach. We assist them with setting goals, planning, and strategizing, and then holding them accountable to those goals because they know we're going to be meeting again and talking about the agreements that we made in these conversations. So that's some of the things that we do as a coach and how to prepare for these sessions and what we need to explain to a person who does not understand what coaching is.
Yeah, so I think a lot of the participants on our call that are listening to this playback have either been through a basic coach training program or perhaps have gone through Coach Training Alliance certification program, and they are certified coaches. And some people may be just thinking about coaching for the first time and looking at ways to bring coaching into their organization. So could you talk a little bit about what that coaching session might look like as far as sort of the order of how things happen and maybe some signs that we could keep our eyes out for that would indicate either, you know, problems or maybe the conversation isn't quite going the right way or when there's an opportunity really sitting at our feet. Mm-hmm. So could you talk a little bit about sort of how that would be structured? How would the conversation be structured?
Sure. Well, as you know, here at Coach Training Alliance, we use the simple coaching model, and it is a very, very powerful model. At first, when people take a look at it, they may say, gosh, this seems, you know, I'm concentrating so much on this. But once you've used it just a couple of times, it very quickly begins to feel like a conversation with a best friend. So if you can imagine sitting down with your very best friend who you care deeply for and you want them to succeed and you would do anything for them to help them succeed, that's the tone of a coaching conversation. And where the simple coaching model starts is in step one, which is called clarifying the agenda. And this is what really sets the stage for a successful and satisfying coaching session. And the goal of clarifying the agenda is to discover the specific topic that the team member wants to explore during that session. And also any important details about that topic, and then what exactly they want to take away from this discussion. And so the opening question, typically most people will say, you know, what's on your mind today, or what would you like to talk about today? And then the team member answers that question. And then the coach, with real natural curiosity, starts digging in around that agenda and asks some questions so that the coach has a full understanding about that agenda. Once the coach feels that they have a true understanding and in addition the team member has a true understanding, because there's a magical thing that occurs in coaching sessions. And a lot of times we as human beings can tumble things around inside of our heads over and over and over, and we think we're really clear about, for example, our agenda that we want to talk about. And when that team member shows up and starts talking out loud about their agenda, many times they will say through this process of, wow, I guess what I really want to talk about is XYZ. And then when the team member identifies that piece, and that's typically what happens in this step, the coach then asks, what would you like to take away from our session today? And then the team member answers that question, and now that coaching session is laser focused and moving forward on that agenda. Then the next step is seizing the coachable moments. And these are potential, so to speak, roads to travel with the team member. And what the coach listens for is strong or weak energy, and you'll hear that in their tone of voice. Inconsistent statements where they might contradict themselves, and so there's a place to dig in there. Nervous laughter or sighs, which kind of give a sign that there's something going on behind that nervous laughter or sigh. Assumptions that may not serve that team member, interpretations, limiting beliefs, inflation of roles, and so on. And so these are the coachable moments that we look for as coaches. And when we hear those, we dig in. And we ask open-ended questions, always, through the coaching session. And open-ended questions allow the team member to dig deep and find their own solutions. If we ask closed-ended questions that just attract a yes or no answer, the conversation is done. And so with open-ended questions, it really allows that team member to dig deep. So those open-ended questions begin with who, what, where, when, and how. And we want to stay away from questions that begin with the word why, W-H-Y. And the reason for that is because that tends to shut people down. People get on the defensive when we ask a why question, that perhaps they feel like they've done something wrong or they're being judged. So we stay away from that particular word when we're asking our open-ended questions. The third step is inviting the shift. And then this is where we've dug into one or more of those coachable moments, and maybe the team member had a limiting belief about themselves, and the coach dug in and asked a few questions, and the team member all of a sudden realized, wow, I do have that knowledge. I do have that skill. I do have the ability to solve that problem. And all of a sudden, you'll hear a shift in their energy. They all of a sudden go from feeling maybe depressed or defeated or unsuccessful to, wow, I really do have the information inside of me. And so when we hear those shifts, we address them as a coach and say, gosh, I'm hearing a change in your energy. Tell me about that. What are you experiencing right now? And inviting the shift helps our team members identify where they've grown and where they've shifted in our coaching conversation. Then the next step is called framing the masterpiece, and that's where we guide our team member to develop next steps, goals, strategies, action steps. So a question we may ask as a coach is, you know, what's the best way to accomplish ABC? Or, you know, what's the first thing you need to do to move forward with this project or this task? And so we help them frame their next steps and ask them, when will you have this accomplished by? What is a reasonable time? And so it sort of follows that SMART goal process, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely, so that the person follows through and they know what is expected of them. And then at the end of the session, we close with a very powerful question to the team member, which is, what was most valuable, let me say that again, what was most valuable for you today from our conversation? And what this does is it helps the team member identify the value of the time that they spent in that conversation. And in addition, it also sometimes spurs on new ahas because they have an opportunity to think what was really most valuable for them. So that's pretty much the overview of the simple coaching model. In the coaching skills, there's many different skills that come into play where we're asking questions, we're summarizing what the team member is saying to us so that the team member knows we have a full understanding, and if we don't, the team member has an opportunity to clarify. We reframe things for them, so if they're saying things in a very negative way, we help them shift their perspectives. We listen fully to them with our hearts and souls without judgment. And, you know, we challenge them to grow and develop to higher levels. One of the things we need to be aware of as we're going through the simple coaching model is we have to be aware of a term which we call hijacking the agenda. And that is where we leave our coaching role as the coach. And we think we know what the agenda is for the client. And so we hijack their agenda and say something like, so what you want to talk about today is dot, dot, dot. And it really isn't what they want to talk about. And we as coaches want to stay away from that because as soon as we hijack that agenda, it becomes our agenda, not the team member's agenda. And it's really important to maintain that co-creative relationship that the team member feels as though they have created and brought that agenda to the table. Did I miss anything? Did I address all those questions?
That's terrific. Thank you very much. And to our listening audience, if you would like to learn more about your developing your ability to coach others, developing the skills of asking and reframing and listening, and most importantly, learning how to use the simple coaching model and apply it to your employees and coaching your organization, please visit www.coachtrainingalliance.com. There you will find information about coaching in organizations. We have programs for individuals that want to become a coach to their organization, as well as a co-creative leadership course that helps frontline managers, and supervisors step into that role as a coach. And follow-up questions about the program or any comments can be sent to myself directly, Holly with a Y, H-O-L-L-Y, at coachtrainingalliance.com. And we look forward to hearing from you. This concludes CTA's presentation on the role of coaching in employee conflict. Please share this link with others who may find it valuable or are considering a coach training program. Marguerite, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time.
Great. And, you know, I just wanted to close with one final comment, Holly, if that's okay, and that is the goal of conflict management is to engage the people for the betterment of the organization, and coaching addresses just that. It engages people by empowering them to finding their own solutions, and so it is a fabulous tool to use for conflict management.
Outstanding. All right. Thank you again, and thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thank you. Have a great day, Holly, and thanks for allowing me to be a part of this call.
Of course. Bye-bye.
Bye.